Let the words of thy mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This weekend, we're celebrating the birthday of our country, a nation conceived in liberty, as Lincoln said. In the Declaration of Independence, it is stated that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The free exercise of religion and the free expression of ideas are built into our Constitution, the basis for all our laws and national institutions. The text from John has a similar spirit. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth making people free is a beautiful ideal. We can picture Peace Corps volunteers showing farmers how to use their land more efficiently, how to develop a safe drinking water supply and healthy sanitation, thereby freeing them from disease, hunger, and poverty. Or imagine a teacher helping a student get a grip on how to solve a certain kind of math problem and why the solution works, and the student's sense of freedom and capability as he masters the process. We see around the world the advance of the ideal of a free market replacing the repression of communism. The truth is making people free. Some people look at the history of the world as the triumph of ever-growing knowledge over old superstitions, thus the evolution of mankind into a higher and higher being. In the last century, with the astonishing advances of science and technology, many scholars believed that mankind was well on its way to overcoming all problems, moral, political, and international. But it has become clear that all the human and social problems that we have faced throughout recorded history still resist any rapid solution. The question remains, in spite of the advance of knowledge, what is the truth that will free us from these problems? What is the freedom that we should strive for? There are many different opinions about what is true and what is good. For example, if we take the problem of disorderly approaches to the opposite sex, some people say that most people will never act with any higher morality or principles than animals, because human beings are animals. They say that waiting for marriage is an unrealistic and therefore an undesirable notion. Others insist that people can be taught and can be supported in living a clean, chaste life. So people sharply disagree about what is the truth that will make us free. To take another example, since the downfall of communism and the end of the Cold War, people are groping for principles on which a new world order can be founded. Concern for the environment, eliminating trade barriers, joining groups of nations together, as in the European Union, or letting ethnic groups such as the Kurds have their own national identities. Where can we find principles and values to lift us above antagonistic self-interest? The heavenly doctrine offers a clear understanding of what genuine freedom involves. One of the main points is that freedom is a quality of love, since what we love is what we do freely. The Lord gives everyone twin spiritual faculties called liberty and rationality. Rationality is the ability to understand what is true and good. Liberty is the ability to think, love, speak, and do what we see as best. Everyone has the ability, if he or she wishes, to see what is true, or close his eyes to it, and to aim for what is truly good, or to pursue things that are less good or even harmful. According to the choices we make, certain ways of life feel free because we love them and do them with delight. while other things feel like slavery. To a good person, doing what is good feels free. To an evil man, it is enjoyable to do evil things, and it is slavery if he is prevented from doing evil. These are valuable principles to know in thinking about our country. There are influential thinkers who believe human beings are no freer than animals, especially poor and uneducated people, or even whole races of people. Therefore, they believe that such people must be manipulated by rewards and punishments by cleverer people, and by various kinds of advertising and mind control. This philosophy encourages programs appealing to base motives as a way to solve social problems. But human beings really do have free choice, and the higher the motive we act from, the freer we become. Some people don't recognize that there are worse, more degrading things than disease. Or perhaps the problem is that they don't see the truths to use in making a powerful appeal to higher motives, the truths to really make us free. In the book Divine Providence, we learn that a person passes through three general states of freedom or love in the course of regeneration. We start out in what the writings call natural freedom, a state of predominantly selfish and materialistic loves. To the extent that we remain in these loves, we are, in fact, little more than animals, driven by physical instincts. In this state, a person is eager to break all the commandments if he can get away with it. The second state of freedom is called rational freedom. What delights a person in this state is to appear outwardly as a moral human being, because he or she then receives honor and access to material rewards. Because the love of a good reputation, a person acts in sincere, chaste, and friendly ways and publicly advocates a moral life. Rational freedom is a middle ground between heaven and hell. A person here could remain stuck in merely natural freedom on the inside, putting on an appearance of morality for selfish purposes, in other words, a hypocrite. But he or she could also be gradually purified of selfishness and infilled with spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom is true freedom. Notice what the writings say about it. It comes from the love of eternal life. No one comes into this freedom except a person who thinks that evils are sins and therefore does not want to pursue them, and at the same time looks to the Lord for help. As soon as we look to the Lord for help, while we shun evils as sins, we are coming into spiritual freedom. At first, this state does not seem free, while we struggle against the delights of evil and of natural freedom. But actually, we are now beginning to win real freedom and exercise a real choice, much more than a person who is just blindly following inborn inclinations. And the more we stick with our determination to follow the Lord, the more we begin to act from real freedom and real wisdom in thinking and doing what is good. We can come to deeply value a strong marriage bond and a sense of integrity and service in our work. This is the freedom that angels enjoy. Natural freedom, the state of hell, and spiritual freedom, the love of heaven, are opposite, because their loves are opposite. They are each called freedom because people in either state feel free, but actually, natural freedom is slavery. Evil spirits endure eternal frustration because the lusts of evil are insatiable. They need to hurt others to get satisfaction, but as soon as they try, they come into punishment severe enough to make them stop. They get nothing to eat unless they work, and they bitterly resent this forced labor. This is where natural freedom leads. By contrast, angels' happiness keeps on growing and deepening to eternity. They do whatever they want to because they love doing what is good, whatever the Lord wants them to do. This is freedom itself. The Lord said, "Everyone doing sin is the servant or slave of sin. And the servant does not abide in the house forever. The Son abides forever. If then the Son sets you free, you shall certainly be free." Everyone may come into spiritual freedom, the doctrine says. Everyone may come into this freedom, provided he is willing to think that there is an eternal life, and that the temporary delight and bliss of a life in time are a mere fleeting shadow compared to the never-ending delight and bliss of a life in eternity. The problem is that with the decay of Christianity, people lack clear ideas of the life after death as an imminent reality for which they can prepare themselves. Life after death remains a nice idea, and many people believe it in a general way, but not with great conviction. The doctrine of faith alone destroys the connection between the way we live now and the way we will live to eternity. It takes away the truths that could lead people to spiritual freedom. In the Western world, an important part of the concept of freedom is economic opportunity. This basic level of freedom can be a good foundation for being able to think freely and choose one's goals, spiritually as well as naturally, and then work to bring them into reality. However, this ideal has largely been degraded into a notion that material things themselves bring freedom. Capitalism, like other systems, is susceptible to perversion into fraud, theft, and unrestrained indulgence without responsibility for uses to the neighbor. We need the ideals of spiritual freedom to make good, eternal use of the material things and the economic freedom the Lord has provided us. Similarly, we have the ideal of equal justice under law. But a free society cannot be created only by fair laws and wise administration, because freedom depends on people choosing of their own free will not to do evil, choosing to work hard and serve their neighbors. Freedom comes from the Lord, from within. Laws and regulations are necessary to support freedom by limiting the abuses done by people in merely natural states. But the sight of what is just and fair among legislators, judges, administrators, and the general population depends on their willingness to look to the Lord as the source of justice. Here again, civil liberty depends on spiritual freedom with the people and the leaders of the country. The question is, to what extent are spiritual truths available in our country? The truths on which spiritual freedom depends. As New Church people, one of our special opportunities is to help preserve and spread the awareness of spiritual principles, especially the life after death, as the wellspring of the liberties we cherish. Many of our fellow countrymen do still believe in the life after death and know that true freedom comes from God. We should love, honor, and uphold these beliefs and affections with our countrymen. Wherever we have the opportunity, we should speak of them and help clarify and strengthen belief in the life after death. The Lord's kingdom will be for ages of ages. Our natural country, to the extent that it is an image and likeness of His kingdom, can also continue to prosper and be an ideal of civil liberty in the world, as we, its citizens, look to the Lord. May we do our duty from love for the wonderful country the Lord has provided us, with the goal of serving His kingdom, both in this world and forever. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.